Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming in at this early hour. I'm Vlad, and this is Matt. We both work on API management team. We are program managers for API management. Matt is the latest addition to the team. You probably, some of you may have met him already virtually on email, Yammer, you know, read his blogs. He came from UK, where he was working consulting services, helping enterprise customers adopt Microsoft products and technologies. We're especially delighted to have Ben Lambert, the principal software engineer at Blackbaud, joining us today. Blackbaud is API management and Azure customer, and Ben will share with you a great example of how API management can use to transform the business for a company, and hopefully provide some inspiration for you. So before I continue, I'd just like to, you know, gauge a little bit who you guys are. So can you raise your hand if you are an API management user and just came for an update? A couple of hands, you know, a few. I'm new to API management. I don't know what it is. I came to find out. Lots more. Okay. So very good. Thank you very much. So we have a packed agenda today. So we're going to start, you know, and most of it, actually two-thirds of it, will be demos. So it's not going to be slides, which is great. So we're going to start with a little motivation of API management and API economy. Then we're going to show you a quick demo. For those of you who are new to API management, you're going to see the product. You can see it in action. You'll sort of have a feel of what it does. Then we have Ben come up and give you an example, actually a real-life example of API management in use. Then we're going to talk about our future and what we plan to do next, and show you, first time ever publicly, a preview of the new admin experience that we are creating for API management. And then, of course, we'll wrap up and do some questions and answers. So I know that you came here to see the product and to learn about the product. But it's customer and useful to set the context for the product. So I'm going to just take a few minutes to talk about API economy, API management, what it is and why you need it. So APIs are fantastic for encapsulating data and services and sharing them, right? And APIs actually, we don't think about it, but they power all the important technology trends that are active today. You know, any, however trivial, app on your phone will be completely useless without APIs. Cloud computing would be, you know, impossible, unthinkable without APIs. You know, they called it Amazon Web Services for a reason, right? Real-time data collection for analysis and learning, and then application of that learning in real time on demand in your applications would be practically impossible without APIs. SaaS applications that are a growth trend these days, right, will be sad little islands without APIs. So APIs are super important. And they are so important that there is this term today that has been invented, API economy. So what is API economy? I came across recently this quote from Deloitte, which I thought actually describes it pretty well. It's sort of a longish quote, but the point is that APIs are so important that today, execs are talking about them. Why? Because they actually transform businesses and drive new revenue and new opportunities for those businesses. The last bit about, you know, managing APIs products and the fact that surfacing APIs requires navigating this complex technical footprint is very relevant to our session, which is called, of course, Bolstering Integration with API Management. So APIs are quickly becoming preferred and de facto standard for integration within the enterprise. They're hands down already de facto integration standard for externally for enterprises, right? But they're becoming so internally as well. And I would even go as far as to say that integration today is creation and consumption of APIs. And I got an inspiration for self-quoting from Jim Herr, my boss here. So Of course, we are ready to help. And Microsoft has a great platform for API-centric integration. These are the just key products that we offer in that space. And our sort of goal is to provide you with a very well, nicely integrated set of products that are loosely coupled. You can use them independently, but they are awesome together. So API management, of course, is the topic of today's discussion. But there's also Logic Apps, which are very powerful, very sophisticated cloud workflows that can orchestrate across your on-prem and SaaS assets. BizTalk, of course, you probably most of you are familiar with. It's a very powerful integration tool, can be deployed on-prem, has connectors that allow you to connect to line of business systems, and now we are improving it to connect it to the cloud to be able to do integration across both cloud and on-prem. And then, of course, Service Bus is a great product, is a great messaging product that, of course, cloud-based and is used very broadly. So let's talk about API management. So you remember the quote, it said that APIs are products. Well, what does it mean? Well, it means that you need to start thinking about APIs from outside in, right? You need to start actually treating them as product, apply lean methodologies to adopting APIs. But that's something that, of course, is more of a process, not a tool. So after you sort of figure out what APIs are useful for you to expose and what business models you have to back them with, you have to grapple with, you know, a lot of serious technical and policy issues. How do you protect your legacy backends? How do you protect your core business systems? Because your APIs terminate in those. How do you enforce your business policies? How do you engage with developers? How do you get them to discover your APIs and use them, your APIs? Developers are a very fickle bunch. You know, they don't want to spend a lot of time. They like, you know, everything to happen quickly. So this, you know, time to the first successful call is very important. How do you achieve that? How do you achieve this smooth onboarding experience? How do you measure the impact of the APIs that you created on your business? You know, the measure, right, and then use data that you extract to drive the development of APIs and their evolution is a cornerstone of all these sort of lean approaches. So you got to have the data. Well, API management helps with all of these. So Azure API management, you know, the way we think about it as four sort of buckets of value. First is abstraction, right? They say that any problem in software engineering can be solved by creating another layer of abstraction. And it's true, right? And that's what API management provides you to do, you know, provides you with. Ability to essentially decouple API consumers from backends that implement APIs. By implementing that abstraction layer, you hide the actual location of your APIs. They become movable. You can also hide capabilities of your backends that you don't want to expose. You can modernize your backends to look like they've been created today using idioms that are accepted by developers and expected by developers today, even though your API was created 10 years ago. You can optimize the APIs for specific scenarios that you think your consumers might want. Second piece is middleware. It's all about governance, right? Normally, all these concerns of security protection, et cetera, are pushed into the backend. However, that sort of spreads them across your enterprise. So it's always useful to centralize the governance of these things. And API management allows you to centralize security, throttling, protection, caching, logging, all these cross-cutting concerns and simplify your backends, essentially make your backends focused on just domain. Then, of course, the next is monitoring, right? This is about usage. Who are your most prolific developers? Which APIs are most used? Which products are most desirable, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, monetization, to monetize, to bill. You need to understand the usage, right? You need to understand who is using what, how much, et cetera. So you need the data. And lastly, developers, right? Developers, APIs are meant to be consumed. Just exposing APIs that nobody uses, there's no point in that. So you definitely want your developers to easily discover your APIs and then quickly get to using them. And for that, you need a developer portal. You need documentation. You need the interactive console where can they make that first successful call without writing any code, literally, you know, in seconds. And that's something that we provide. And of course, you can use API management. The API is hosted on Azure. API is hosted on-prem with Azure's own APIs. And of course, third-party APIs. Because if you are consuming APIs of your partners, of your vendors, you know, of SaaS applications out there, there's always a good idea to put another layer of indirection between you and them to isolate yourself from change and to control that access. And that, again, back to the abstraction. So as far as the product goes, it all starts with backends, which you already probably have. They can be hosted anywhere and built with any technology stack. We can connect to those APIs, backend APIs, either directly or using VPN by using virtual networking in Azure. API management itself has three components that are of most interest. There's a publisher portal. That's your admin experience. This is where you're going to go to, you know, administer your APIs, define them, define policies on them, look at your analytics, and do things like that. Developer portal, and, you know, essentially, in addition, you know, obviously these days, right, DevOps is king, so in addition to interactive management, we'll also provide you a bunch of ways to automate management of your API instances. You know, we'll provide you with an API, we'll provide you with a scripting experience, we'll provide you with language experience for C# and .NET, and we'll provide you with a Git endpoint. So if you are, you know, an avid Git user, any standard Git tool can be used to manage API management. The information that you provide through the publisher portal is consumed both by the gateway and the developer portal, so they're always in sync. There's no way for them to deviate from each other. Developer portal provides all the necessary tools and capabilities for developers to discover and onboard to use your API very quickly. And then gateway is where the magic happens. Gateway mediates all the calls to your backend APIs. Gateway is a front door, essentially, to all backend APIs that you have. By virtue of being in the middle, it can measure your APIs and it can apply all the policies to modernize, to protect, to secure, et cetera, right? So that's a key component there. So with that, I'm gonna yield to Matthew here, who will run you through the lap around API management, just give you the basic understanding of the product.
Thanks, Vlad. Good morning. Hey, that's not bad for 9 o'clock at the end of the conference. Well done, well done. So I'm going to take you through a very quick lap around the product, just show you the basic features of how it operates. For those of you who are brand new to it, hopefully this gives you a better understanding of what it is and how to use it. For those of you who are familiar with it, we've got some new surprises to show, so don't go to sleep on me. What we're going to do is we're going to just try the basic features out, and then we're going to go through the process of adding a new API and show you how easy it is to set a new API up and then test it and make sure it's working. So let's give that a go now. If you can put me on 8. Lovely. So we're in the new Azure portal, and we've got our API management instance here, which is one I've already created. It's named Soapy. If that gives you a hint of some of the features I'm going to show later, then great. And we'll open it up in the new Azure portal. So any of you who have used the product before will notice this is slightly different to what you do today, publicly available in the Azure portal to interact with API management. So this is a new integration with the new Azure portal that we're going to be releasing on the world in the next few weeks. We're going to be moving gradually across to the Azure portal that's going to give you a whole bunch of new features to do with role-based access control and automation of scripts and things like that that's going to make using the service even easier. But I'm not going to go through that. I'm going to go and show you the publisher portal. If you saw in Vlad's diagram, talked about the elements of the publisher portal and the developer portal that we publish, we're going to go and have a look at the publisher portal now. So we open the API management instance up, and we've got our dashboard, which has all your APIs. Obviously, this is a demo, so I'm just showing you the one API I've got in this instance, which is BigConference API. And as you can see on the dashboard, we've got some quick information about all the things to do with your API. We've got some stats about how the API is being used. We've got information about people who have subscribed to the products you've used to group your APIs up and any applications that have been associated with it. If I go and have a look at the APIs tab now, this is, in Vlad's diagram, you had the being able to facade the API. So this is the information about that abstraction. So effectively what's happened is Big Conference API is an API app sitting in Azure, and we have taken an abstraction of it into API management. So the people using this API won't be able to know where the API is, they won't know anything about it, they'll just know that you have an API at an endpoint that API management publishes. The implementation is all put away by a facade. So you can see all the different information about the operations that are in this API and how it works. Information about this particular operation. So that's the abstraction element. If we go and have a look at the middleware element, well, we describe those in things called policies. So policies are a whole bunch of snippets of functionality that you can add to the pipeline that goes between your incoming request and the outbound response back to your client. So those policy snippets allow you to modify, transform, and append to the request. So they're it's a very, very flexible way of making changes. And you can see in this policy I've got here, we're just doing some cores to be able to allow requests to go to different endpoints. The monitoring element, if we go to our analytics tab quickly, everything that goes in and out of your API, we record statistics for, so that you can see where the requests are coming from, who's making those requests, and you can then make business decisions based on the information you get. So this is a very quick summary of all the things that are going on, but we can delve much more deeply into these statistics to look at who's using the APIs, what APIs they're calling, what operations they're calling. And then finally, the last part was developer, and that's really shown in our developer portal. So let's go and have a look at that now. So this is the base developer portal that you get out of the box with API management. The idea is you can leave it entirely as you want, or you can configure, customize, turn it into a website that looks exactly like one of your own websites. We offer you a really flexible way of adding styling and adding elements to the page to make it look like you want. So we're just going to have a look at Big Conference API, the documentation that gets generated automatically as soon as you add that API to API management. So all this documentation comes straight out of your definitions for your API. You don't have to go and do anything yourself to get these. And as you'll see, we've got all the operations that we've created within the developer portal here. We've got information about what's going on in the request, some information about the payloads that are going to be coming in and out of the request, and information of the schema that shows people how those requests are defined. We've also got a whole bunch of code snippets, so in a bunch of different languages, that allows your developers to go in, take that code snippet, and then be able to interact with your API really, really quickly. Finally, we've got what we call our console, so the ability to be able to send requests from the developer portal to your API so people can test out and see how it works. So we'll just try that now just to prove that it works. So I'm just going to make a request. The request's going to come into API management. We're going to process it using our policy engine. We're going to then send the request on to the backend API, which will respond to API management, and we'll send that response back here to the console. So doing that now with the send. And as you can see, we've got a great big response from this API as it sends us a lot of JSON back. One other thing is if you're an administrator and you really want to find out what's going on under the hood with your API, we've also got a trace feature right there in the console, so you can actually see all of the things that have happened in the flow between coming into API management, going to the back end, and coming back through API management. So let's go back through the process of actually adding an API to give you an idea how quickly you can do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to add a SOAP API. So support for SOAP is a brand new feature in API management. It should be going into public preview in the next few weeks, and I'm just going to show you how it works here. The concept for a SOAP API is very, very similar to a REST or HTTP API. We're just using this as an example because it's a new feature and wanted to show it off. But the actual process we'll go through is the same. So I'm going to copy the URL here of this WSDL document, the definition of the SOAP API. If you're using a REST or HTTP API, you would use a format like Swagger Open API or Waddle to import your API. So we're going to go ahead and hit the Import API button. And there you can see the different specifications that we support. I'm going to choose WSDL today. and I'm going to use the URL of the WSDL document. I'm going to call this API orders. And I'm going to add it to the unlimited product. So products are a way in which we group up the APIs, so we can offer different levels of service to different customers. You may have some customers that you just want to give a cursory access to so that they can try stuff out. You may have other customers that you're big partners that you work with that you want to give full unlimited access to. And we use policies to configure and set up those products so that they perform as you want them to. I'm now going to save that. We've imported the WSDL document. It's actually asked me whether I want to, which endpoint I want to use. WSDL documents can define multiple endpoints. Don't worry too much about that for now. And now I've imported the WSDL document, set up a facade API for this SOAP API within API management. It operates in just the same way as the backend and will forward requests to my backend SOAP service. So just so you, to prove that it works, you can see the operations have been set up here. Let's very quickly go into the developer portal now. Go back to my APIs, and I can see the orders API there, and it's marked as a SOAP API. Now, the APIs there, you can see that there's some differences with a SOAP API. Compared to what I showed you earlier. So for example, the sample information and the schema are different because we're using XML as the message format. And what we're going to do now is just test that that works. And the console still works fine. So we're going to just put in our customer ID here. And then send that request to the backend service. And the demo gods are kind to me, and I get a 200 response, and it showed me the XML payload that's come back. Now, one thing we might want to do with our API, once we've tried it out, is you notice these headers that have come through. Now, really, we don't want to show our customers what we're using in the back end to implement our API. So these headers that are coming through from ASP.NET, which is running the backend web service, we'd probably want to filter out. So how could we do that? Well, this is where policies come in. So let's head back to our policy engine. So we're going to go into policies, and we're going to select our orders API. And we want to apply a policy that affects any calls to any of the operations within this API. So we're going to do that by adding a policy here. So we're at the orders API, all operations level. And I'll make this full screen so you can see what's going on. And obviously, I have created one earlier. So I'm just going to drop in the outbound section, the policies to change the headers, because I don't want those headers going back to my client. Whilst I'm here, I'm also thinking, when I unleash this API on people, I don't really know how my backend is going to perform. So I probably want to put a rate limit on it, because that will make sure that people can't send millions and millions of requests to it a second. I want to just be able to stop them from overloading it until I'm certain how it performs. So we can add a policy for that too. So I also have one created. So you can see there in the inbound section, we've got a rate limit by key policy. So it's going to allow me to do 3 calls over a 10-second period, and it's going to use my IP address as the counter key to make sure that to group up where those calls are coming from. So if we apply that policy, we can go and see how it behaves. So we're back on the Orders API in the developer portal. And what we're going to do now is call this API again using the console. And we've got response 200 okay, but you'll notice that the headers I had last time have been removed. So that's the policy in action. It's taking out those headers. Let's see if we can get the rate limit to work. And here's where I really hope the demo gods are being kind to me. So if I keep clicking, there we go. So if I keep clicking and sending that response, I've sent more than three requests in a 3-second period, and I get this status code 429, which is a standard HTTP status code telling me that I've been throttled effectively, telling me that I've been stopped from calling at the moment, please try again later. If I keep sending responses outside the 10-second window, I get the response back. One final cool thing that I want to show you in how we can use the developer portal is how easy it is to customize it. So let's say, right, I've set up some policies for headers, I've set up my rate limit, I think the API is pretty good, and I want to try it out with my audience. And there's several ways in which you can do this. So we have an issues tab within the developer portal that your customers can use to feedback. But maybe you already use a discussion board software in your company. You'd really like your developers to just use that. So we have an answer for you. In the developer portal, if you log in as administrator, you get this little tab that comes up, and that gives you admin access to changing things within the portal. And we're going to use a feature called templates. We have a styles tab where you can go and change colors and CSS and things like that within the site, but we're going to go and add templates. So if I go, we're on the operation page at the moment. So if I go to the operation template, I'm going to pop this up full screen. And of course, oh, there we go. Let me try again.
Your own console page.
Ah, yes, good point. That might be why that's not working. So let's do that. There we go. Phew. Okay, you will see on this page, this is basically on the right-hand panel, we have all the data that's available to you in the template to put on this page. And you can choose any of these objects and you can load them into the page. On the left-hand side, we have the actual template that renders out on the page. And you'll notice we have little elements here, like it's a little bit tiny, but hopefully you can see it, api.name. So this is where we take the api.name data element and render it on the page. Well, you can use that if you can use HTML and JavaScript to then modify the page as you want. So I'm going to scoot down to the bottom, and hopefully many of you are familiar with the discussion board software Discuss, D-I-S-Q-U-S. If you're not, you've seen it before, I can almost guarantee it. You just don't realize that's what it is. So it's a way in which you can embed discussion boards in pages and then collate all those discussions into one place for you to manage and administer.
Well, in fact, if you actually visited MSDN documentation, it's this stuff under the article where you can ask questions and provide feedback.
So wouldn't it be great for you to have the same discussion boards on your developer's page as you get on MSDN? So I'm just going to drop in, just to save time, a snippet of code. So this is a snippet of code that you're given by Discuss when you sign up. And we can add it directly to our template. All that I've done is modify this little section here, which is my API ID. So that provides a unique identifier to Discuss to keep the discussion boards associated with that API. So I've dropped that code snippet in there. I've saved. Now I'm going to publish it. And if I get rid of this and reload the page, when we scroll down, there we go. So the discussion boards have been added to the page. And that's how easy it is to modify, add widgets, snippets, pieces of code to your developer portal for you to then modify and customize it best to use for your customers. OK, quick question. Yes, so the question, just to repeat it, when you're doing policies, effectively, are you able to use variables, I think is what you mean, that are associated with the request? I didn't show that today, but yes, we have a C-sharp-like language we call expressions that allows you to get access to variables in the context object of the request going back and forth. We've got some great documentation on that online, or let's chat about it later. So that's great.
I would even go as far as say it's just C-sharp. It's not C-sharp like, it's actually C-sharp.
Pretty much, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there we go. I'll be back with more demos and some cool new stuff later on, but back to Vlad.
Cool, thank you. So let's go back to the slides. So some of you probably only recently learned about existence of API management. However, you know, we've been actually a production service for more than 2 years now. And I thought that it would be useful to provide you with a little bit of a sort of by the numbers status update on how we're doing. So we actually are, you know, rapidly growing, and the engagement of our customers with the product and the API programs are growing, and you can see that the core growth, which reflects that, is actually outpacing the growth in customers. We're deployed in 22 regions today, and we'll be in 24 regions, you know, in a matter of a month. You know, we definitely sort of, you know, available across the world. We have customers in every region that we deployed in. We are processing all of our customers, right? Processing quite a bit of calls every month. We are up to 4.5 billion, and this number is growing rapidly. And we have, you know, quite a few customers. Now today we are lucky to have Ben, who is one of those customers. And you've seen, you know, a very basic demo of API management, essentially, you know, lap around, just some basic features in the portal that looks, you know, very sort of bare bones, et cetera. And Ben will show you some cool things that they've done using API management and other Azure services to create an awesome solution for the API program. So, Ben, please.
Thanks, Vlad. Good morning again. Still before 10 a.m., so good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much. Okay. Can you guys hear me okay? Great. Okay. So my name is Ben Lambert, and I work for a company called Blackbaud, headquartered in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, we are the world's leading provider of software and services, expertise, and data intelligence for the advancement of social good and philanthropy. We serve more than 35,000 customers in 60 countries across the world, and we bring more than So we bring more than 3.5 decades of software leadership to the nonprofit sector. In fact, 45 of the 50 most influential nonprofits in the world are running Blackbaud software. Now, each year, customers using our technology raise and manage more than $100 billion for their respective causes, which can range from getting pets into safe and loving homes to funding new research for the cures to diseases like cancer and ALS. So here's a pretty cool success story that I'll share with you. Water Mission International is a customer who recently enabled some of our newer technology. And that allowed them to identify nearly 900 constituents with the potential and capacity to donate $1,000. Now that's nearly $1 million of potential new revenue that can be used to provide clean drinking water for 100,000 people for the rest of their lives. So that's software with an impact. So we're very proud of what our customers are able to accomplish, and as a software developer, it's really a dream to be able to work on the kind of product that has this kind of impact on people's lives. Now, Blackbaud has, for the past few years, actually been in a transition phase. So we're transitioning from a classically on-premise based software company to a SaaS business. Anybody else making a similar kind of transition? Yeah. Well, the reason we're doing this is so that we can operate more efficiently, so that we can innovate more rapidly, and ultimately, so we can deliver more value to our customers. So we're transitioning from an on-premise model to a SaaS model. And a cornerstone of that transition has been building out a modern open REST API. We call it our Sky API. And we know that building out an API involves more than just building public endpoints that developers can call. We also need great documentation and samples and tutorials and other tools to help get developers up and running quickly. We need analytics to help us provide insights into how our APIs are being used and performance monitoring for our APIs. And of course, we need to do all of this with security in mind and with controls in place to help protect our backend from those periodic spikes or runaway code sending us millions of requests per day. So that's a whole lot of things that you actually have to do to run a successful API program. And that's where Microsoft's API management product comes into play for us. We've been building our Sky API on the API management platform for about a year and a half now, and I'd like to show you some of the highlights of our implementation. About Okay, so I'll start here in our Sky API developer portal, which is, again, built on Azure API Management. And the first thing to notice is that we've been able to customize the style of the developer portal to match our company and product brand. So as I scroll through the homepage here, you can see this looks pretty different from the portal that Vlad and Matt showed earlier. And we've done this using the widgets feature of API Management. So we're actually linking in some custom CSS and JavaScript files from our website to give us some consistent color palettes, font choices, styles, layout, even some miscellaneous UI behavior. And this is important because we want developers to have a consistent experience as they navigate between our developer portal, our public website, and our products websites. We want them to have a nice, consistent experience, and API Management gives us a great platform for styling the portal to deliver that consistent experience. Now, we've also been able to style some of the pages that API Management generates for us at runtime based on the metadata that we uploaded. And so if I navigate to our endpoint reference page, you can see the list of APIs that we currently offer. And again, in the nonprofit space, these are concepts that are very important: constituent management, accounts payable, and general ledger. We expect this API list to grow over time. We're kind of just getting started. But ordinarily, out of the box, API Management will render this page as a vertically oriented list of links. But using the templates feature that Matt just demoed, we were able to restyle this page so that it flows horizontally. And if I navigate into the constituent management API, we get to what is arguably the most important page of the system, which is the documentation page. This is where developers are going to walk up to your API, surf your documentation, and look at the actual ways to call your API. So this is where developers are going to find out all the information about all the operations in your API. And we've been able to style this page as well using the templates feature to meet our specific needs. So again, this looks kind of different from the portal that Matt and Vlad showed earlier. Now, at the top of this page, and in fact, at the top of all the pages, you guys will notice a gray bar going across the top. This we call our Omnibar. This is a UI component that we've been able to pull into the developer portal, again, using the widgets feature. This provides some visual continuity across all of the websites in our cloud ecosystem. And API Management made it very easy for us to pull this component onto the developer portal page, again, to provide that consistent experience between sites. And our Omnibar provides features like sign in and sign out, as well as search capabilities. So nicely integrated right there in the developer portal. And of course, since API Management is backed by a CMS, we've been able to add new pages to the portal as well. If I navigate to our entity reference, this is a landing page that we've created in the CMS, and we've modeled it to mirror the organization of our APIs. And if I drill into the constituent entity reference, you can see the list of entities that are encountered within the constituent API. So developers can cruise through this documentation and really understand what's the shape of the inputs and outputs impact that they'll encounter in the constituent API. So speaking of signing in, the next thing I'd like to highlight is that we've integrated API Management with our identity provider service. Now, out of the box, API Management has the ability to manage developer registrations and sign-in and sign-up operations, and that's great. For our purposes, however, we'd prefer that developers log into the developer portal using their existing Blackboard credentials. So this makes developers' lives a little bit simpler, ultimately lowers that time to first successful call metric that Vlad mentioned earlier. So we want developers to be able to log into our portal using the credentials they already have rather than have to create and manage another set of credentials. And we're using the delegation feature of API Management to have the portal delegate to our sign-in page instead of the out-of-the-box sign-in page. So when I click sign in, we get navigated to our sign-in page. And so I'll sign in with my existing credentials, and upon authentication, I'll be redirected back to the portal. And now I'm logged into the API Management developer portal. I'm also logged into our product, our company's website. So if I navigate to our website or our product page, I won't have to log in again. So again, making the developer's life a lot easier. So we have API management styled to match our company brand. We have it integrated with our identity provider service. Now, you actually wouldn't know it to look at it, but our developer portal is actually a blend of three distinct sites. So we obviously have the developer portal from API management itself, which you've just seen a few examples of. But we also have a static content documentation site that contains some material that was handcrafted, hand-curated by our formal documentation team at Blackbaud. And this site appears under the documentation menu as well as the support menu. So this is actually a different site now. We're using some consistent styling and some consistent menu navigation and consistent, you know, visual continuity elements across all three sites in this blend to project the illusion to the developer that it's actually one cohesive, well-organized site. But it's actually three sites. Now, the content that we have under the documentation site, this is where we have our getting started guide. We have some deeper documentation around our authentication mechanism and OAuth and how to do OAuth, things that developers are going to need to know when they walk up to our API. How to manage your apps, just some basic fundamentals of our API, where is it located, even some code samples with some links out to GitHub repositories for some source code that developers can download to, you know, get up and running quicker. So this is all static content, and since API management has a CMS component to it, we could have absolutely loaded this content into the CMS. The reason we didn't do that is because we have, as I mentioned, a formal documentation team at Blackbaud, and they already had some very mature practices and workflows and processes in place for being able to do continuous releases of their documentation. And we didn't want to rock that boat too much, and luckily API management makes it very easy for us to integrate their documentation site with the developer portal by simply surfacing some links from the navigation menu. And if you guys have documentation folks, you'll know that it's always nice to keep them happy. Now, the third site that participates in this blend, if you will, is actually an app registration website. And you can find that under the developer account, My Applications. So this is a site that we've built that is protected by our single sign-on experience. You have to be logged in to see this site. And this is where developers can register their applications with us for OAuth purposes. Anybody familiar with OAuth? Using OAuth, right? So if you're building an API in which the API is going to be used in the context of a user, you're going to be doing OAuth, and you have to do some application pre-registration before access tokens can be issued. We've built a site that allows our developers to register their apps. So I can come in, register a new application. I can provide the metadata for my application, including the all-important OAuth redirect URI. And I can save this, and when I save, the system will issue to my application the unique client ID and client secret values for OAuth purposes. So we have three sites playing very well, and API management sort of makes it easy for us to integrate those three sites into a single experience so that to the developer, they're just using our developer portal. Now, of course, no live demo would be complete without the obligatory live API call, so I too am going to tempt the demo gods, and let's make a live API call so that I can highlight another facet of our implementation. So we'll drill back into the constituent API, and I'm going to find our constituent get endpoint. So this is the canonical get customer by ID endpoint that you would find in any CRM system. In the nonprofit world, instead of customer, it's constituent, but the idea is very similar. So let's actually make a live API call using the console. We're going to get some information about constituent number 280, but before I can click the send button, I need to acquire an access token. So here's the next thing I'd like to highlight, is not only do we have API management integrated with our identity provider service, we also have it integrated with our OAuth provider service, and API management supports arbitrary OAuth providers. So it's very easy for us via the publisher portal to go in and register our OAuth service, define our authorization and token endpoints to facilitate this live console experience. So once you do that, API management handles doing the OAuth dance, or at least initiating the OAuth dance for you. So I'm gonna get an authorization code. And you'll see API management has launched our authorization service in a separate window. And this is where users will authenticate if they're not already logged in. In this case, I'm already logged in. And then they will be prompted to provide consent to the calling application, which in this case is the Sky API developer console. This is also where we are surfacing our concept of tenancy. So we are a multi-tenant oriented API, and when users provide consent to calling applications, they do so in the context of a tenant to which they have access. So I'm going to provide consent, and you can see that our OAuth provider service has emitted an access token back to the Sky API console. You might recognize the format, JWT tokens, JWT, anybody familiar with that? Right, JSON web token. And so now that I have an access token, I can click send, and the demo gods are indeed kind, and here is our information from the constituent API about constituent number 280. Now, what happened when I actually made that call? So when all calls come into API management, they're all routed through the proxy component that Vlad mentioned earlier. So the proxy is handling aggregating statistics and measuring, and it also handles validating the access token. So via our policy configuration, we've instructed API management to please validate those access tokens. So API management is handling validating these JOTs, and if someone calls our API with an expired access token, or with a token that's missing some required claims, or with a token whose signature doesn't match the signature of our OAuth service, API management will handle rejecting all of that traffic. So that traffic never even sees our back-end services. So when you combine that with the throttling policies that were mentioned earlier, rate limits and quotas, API management makes a really great bouncer for your API. So none of that traffic makes its way to your servers. So again, you're protecting your back end from runaway code or code that's not performing properly. Now, perhaps somewhat unique to our organization, we are employing a partitioning strategy where we partition our customers into distinct logical units. We call them pods or shards. We do this for scale and for fault tolerance and some risk mitigation. And it also helps with cost predictability. If we need to spin up another pod, we know exactly how much it's going to cost. We know exactly how many customers are going to go on that pod. So that's great from a scalability perspective, but it certainly presents some complexity from an API perspective. Because when API requests come in, how do we know which pod to direct the request? Well, API management's policy engine makes it easy for us to sort of express that. So we have some heuristics coming in as part of the access token that basically gives the policy a hint for where the customer's data is located. And so at runtime, when requests come in, we dynamically change the backend URL, the location to which API management routes the request, based on some heuristics coming into the access token. So the request may go to this pod, it may go to this pod, it may go to this pod, but to our consumers, to our developers, they needn't be encumbered with that level of complexity. And API management made that easy for us to implement. So the last thing I'm going to highlight is the analytic component. And this is a case where API management didn't have a feature that we needed out of the box. So out of the box, API management, since all requests are coming in through the proxy, API management handles capturing statistics and presenting those statistics back to us as API publishers. But it does so in mostly an aggregate form. And for our purposes, we actually needed to be able to refer back to the individual granular details of each API request. And API management doesn't do that out of the box today, but it plays very well in the broader Azure ecosystem. So we were able to utilize other great features within Azure to give us this kind of functionality. So the way this works is we've plumbed API management using the log to event hub policy statement to route events to something called Event Hub, which is this massive ingress engine for processing message bus style events. So every API request that comes into our developer proxy yields an event sent to our Event Hub, and we have complete control over the shape and look and feel and smell of the event, so we can craft what detail we want to put in the event. We send the event to Event Hubs, and then we read from Stream Analytics. We use Stream Analytics to read and consume the event stream and write that information to a variety of locations, one of which is Power BI. So we are also routing information to Azure Table Storage for longer-term warehousing and some deeper analytics down the road. But we're also routing it to Power BI datasets, which gives us an opportunity to craft some beautiful dashboards and widgets and charts that allow us to gain the insights that we need into how our APIs are being called. So let me show you what that looks like. So I'm going to flip over here to our Power BI dashboard. And this is in real time, or at least near real time. So you can see here, I've been able to craft several dashboards and widgets that show some statistics about our APIs. And this is in addition to what API Management provides out of the box. So I can see what, you know, how many applications are calling our API, what's the total number of calls as of not too long ago. I can see which developers are calling us, which APIs are being called, how are those APIs are being used, which operations within those APIs are being called. Of the operations that are sent to the back end, which operations result in errors? So what do we need to get to our developers to go chase down? How many calls did API Management reject, and what were the rejection reasons? So we can see here API Management has rejected, so far today, 300 calls for unauthorized access tokens. We have a few bad requests, and we have a handful of OK operations as well. So this really gives us some good insights into what is happening with our API, right? Of the calls that are happening, which ones are taking the longest amount of time relative to other calls? Which calls are resulting in the largest payload response sizes relative to other calls? So we have some tree maps and some sort of histogram style charts here that give us that insight. And then of course down at the bottom we have a nice grid of the actual API call details. And somewhere in this grid, unless it's aged off, let's refresh the page, see if we see it. We should see the API call that I just made using the console. Yeah, here we go, 5 minutes ago, that's probably reasonable. Yeah, there we go. So there is the granular details about the API call. So we have all this information routing into Power BI. So it's a great example of how API Management plays well in the broader Azure ecosystem. So in summary, we have been able to style the API Management portal to match our brand. We've integrated it with our OAuth provider service, our identity provider service. It plays well with peer and subordinate sites like our developer application registration website and our static documentation site. And it provides a mechanism for us to utilize sort of best of breed capabilities of Azure to gain the insights into the analytics that we need. So API Management has thus far proven to be a very useful platform to us. Right, so that's the extent of what I have. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
It's an amazing example of how to treat your API as a product. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about roadmap. So, you know, obviously, everybody is interested. What new features are we working on? How do I provide input? How do I make sure that, you know, my needs are addressed? So, after hearing a lot of these questions, we decided to actually go public with our roadmap. So we're actually using this tool online called Trello. I don't know how many of you use that tool, but I, definitely recommend that you guys check it out. It's a great tool for tracking sort of tasks and things. You can use it for, a variety of things. So we use it for roadmap. So essentially, as you can see here, and this is, by the way, if you want to follow along, you can hit this URL right there, APIM roadmap, and see the current state of this roadmap. This is actually what we have right now is a little bit off because we actually shipped a few things and put them in the done column. But anyways, so as you can see, the roadmap consists of three lists: done, in progress, next up, and backlog. So done is obviously done, right? That's where you can see what we accomplished, when we accomplished it. You can see some color labels there. Green means public availability, general availability. And then the black mark means that it's in dark mode, it's in private preview, but if you want to use this feature, if you want to try it, there's a way for you to contact us, on Twitter, email, et cetera, and request access to the feature. We'll grant you that. And SOAP right now is in private preview, tested by a bunch of customers, so if you're interested in trying that feature, just give us a ring and we'll hook you up. So in progress is what we're working on currently, and some of these are actually already accomplished, and you can see we're working on integration with Logic Apps. We are improving our capabilities with VNets, enabling resource manager VNets, enabling internal workloads with VNets. We are doing a bunch of work on the admin experience, and Matt will show you sort of the latest look and feel, which I hope you'll like because it looks amazing. We are integrating with logic apps and functions and you know, becoming a better sort of Azure citizen overall. So for in-progress items, we obviously would love any feedback, et cetera, you know, to receive from you. Next up are things that we're committed to and we're going to work on next as soon as sort of we have capacity to handle them. Obviously, it's not too late to comment on those, especially with details on the scope and how you particularly want this feature to work, what particular capabilities for this feature you want us to provide. And then backlog are things that we aspire to build, and we are very strongly sort of, you know, we are sure that we're going to do them, but these are sort of a little bit further out. And for those, we're definitely interested in feedback on, again, on the scope of the feature, but also what kind of urgency do you feel around this feature? And I'll show you how to sort of express that. And of course, we have a little bit of an explanation how to use the board and what to do if you don't see your favorite feature on that board. So you can actually go and submit that. So the cool thing about this tool is that you can actually subscribe to it, right? So you will receive notifications which will tell you when things change and so you can keep up with what's going on. Moreover, you can actually subscribe to a specific feature, right? If you don't want to receive updates, you know, on all the features, you can just, you know, subscribe to updates for a specific one. And as you can see, if you click on this card, you're going to see a description of the feature which tells you briefly what it is. You can provide comments to this feature. You can see activity, you know, when the card was moved, you know, when comments were made. And then, of course, you can subscribe to that feature and vote on it. And by voting, you'll tell us how important it is to you. So obviously, the cards that get more vote will tell us that this feature is more urgent, more important, and potentially will prioritize it higher. So as I mentioned, and as Matt sort of also said, that we are working on new admin experience. You saw that today our admin experience is split between Azure portal and this publisher portal. So what we're doing is we're taking everything in publisher portal and moving it into the Azure portal so that all your admin experience will be in Azure portal. We'll have full RBAC and full capabilities of the Azure portal. So, and Matt will show you the preview demo. It's not public yet, so you are seeing here first time. But we're gonna make it available fairly soon. So, yeah.
Okay, you want to see something cool? With the caveat that this is pre-release, and I'm a little nervous. So we're going to go back to our SOAPI API management service in the new Azure portal. And the thing you may notice or may not notice is there's this extra little button down here on the left-hand side called APIs. And that's going to take us to the new management experience. So let's open that up. Take a few seconds. So this is kind of what it looks like. The idea here is that we're giving you a really, really fantastic user experience for managing your APIs in the new Azure portal. So you'll notice that there's a whole bunch more types of things we support in terms of supporting adding and creating a new API. We've got the ones you saw before, so OpenAPI or Swagger, Waddle and Wisdle, but there's also these ones for functions and logic apps and API apps, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's go and have a look at Big Conference API, which you saw earlier on. That's the API we were using in the old publisher portal. Now you can see the what we're calling the design experience in the new portal, because we've now got a view where you can see everything that's going on in your API in one glance. So we can see how our front end is set up. We can see the responses we're sending back, headers and things like that. We can see information about policies that are going on in the transformation. And we can see information about the backends that we're connecting to. And you can do it just all on one page. We've also got a bunch of features in here. So for example, if I click on this tab, we've got information about cloning the API there. You can do that all from here. Or individual operations, for example. And there's a search. So if I, if I search here, I get the operations very quickly. Come back if you've got lots and lots of operations in your API. Let's go and have a look on information about how we set it up. So if we go and look at the front end, for example, yes, we've got a form interface where you can go and modify your front ends. But the thing you may be more interested in at the moment is if I click on this link, here's where I'm really crossing my fingers. Yes, come back. So we've also integrated an editor for Swagger. If those of you who are familiar with Swagger or OpenAPI, you may have seen this tool before. This is now integrated into the Azure portal in API management. So you can make changes to your specification right here and now and test it really quickly. That's good. Let's go and have a look at the backends as well. If you just take me back here, please, interface. There we go. So if I look here, we now have information about the backends you're connecting to, and we allow you to very quickly hot swap them. And we do this at an operation level, which is also really useful if you want to change some operations to a different backend resource. You'll notice here we also have a mock type. So if you want to just set up your API so it only is using a mock to send message back, you can set up your interface, let your clients talk to mocks really easily, and then worry about implementing your backend later. It's all done with one click in the interface. So what would we need to do if we wanted to do the import experience in this API? Well, to do that, you notice on the Add API screen, we had the button here for Logic Apps. So Logic Apps and API management, we want them to be really closely integrated together. We want them to go together like fish and chips. That's a really British reference, so PB&J. We love Logic Apps, Logic Apps love us. Very soon you're going to be able to import API management APIs into Logic Apps and just browse them and import them there. I'm going to show you how we can import a Logic App really easily into API management. So if I just head back here, I've got this Logic App I set up. And if I look at the designer very, very quickly, so this is the hypothetical scenario here is that you're running your conference and you want a quick API for people to give you feedback so that it can tell you your problem, tell you their problems. So what we do is we receive an HTTP request with an information about the person and what their problem is. We're then going to detect the sentiment on that problem. We're going to use cognitive services to go away. Remember Satch's keynote? We're going to go away and use cognitive services to find out what people are thinking in their problem, and that's going to give us a score between 0 and 1. We're going to then post the message to a Slack channel so somebody can go and administer it, and then we're going to respond to the user with a different response depending on whether we think they're happy or they're sad. So that's our Logic App. Let's go back and integrate, add it to API management. So if I go back to the APIs tab again, we open up the Logic App tab, and we're going to browse all our Logic Apps. And you'll see here we've got Tell Me Your Problems down at the bottom. I select it. Now here's where the fact that it's a pre-release version comes out. I have to give it a unique number to make sure it all works at this point. So we're a little way away from releasing this yet, but we thought you'd like to see it. So in fact, let's call that problems. And I'm gonna create that now. Hold on, fingers crossed. There we go, fantastic. So you can see Tell Me Your Problems API has now appeared. So this has made a facade of the Logic App really quickly. It's a post operation because that's the trigger that's set up in the Logic App. Just to prove I am connected to the Logic App, and this isn't all smoke and mirrors, if I click on the Tell Me Your Problems here, we can see it actually takes you to the Logic App. We've got the Logic App in the back end. And now let's go and test it just to prove that it works. Use this as the test interface for your Logic App. Again, I'm showing that this is an early pre-release because I need to put in a content type here just to make sure it works. And then I'm just going to put into the request body my feedback. So if I put in a little JSON payload there saying, Matt is wonderful, how does he do it? I think that's fair. Let's send that now. Wonderful, it worked. So there we go. And the cognitive services has looked at that text and given me a decision and said, we're so glad you're happy. Have a super awesome day. If I just ping up the Slack channel, you can see it's come through here. Thank you. And just to prove it really, really does work, I'll send in a negative response. We're getting towards
truthful.
The end. A truthful negative response. We're getting towards the end of the session. The energy levels are dropping. I'm sick and tired of all this rubbish. Get me out of here. I need a coffee. Let's send that through. And then we get a different message. We've received your problem. We're so sorry you're unhappy. So there we are. We've gone from an idea about letting people give us feedback, putting together a Logic App, and hosting it as an API. People will never know it's a Logic App in a few minutes. So that's the power of the new interface with API management.
So what do you guys think?
We like.
Yeah. Thank you. So let's go back to slides and wrap this up. We have a few minutes left. So just to recap, we talked about integration being about APIs. Really, I mean, if you think about integration today, it's less about connecting apps, to each other. It's more about actually creating and exposing APIs. So integration is creation and consumption of APIs. We've got a great tool set for you to go and do that with API management, Logic Apps, BizTalk Server, Service Bus, and the rest of Azure, right? We have great platforms to run your APIs on. We have great workflow solutions. We have great tools to build applications on top of those APIs. You saw some basic demonstration, and yes, we've got SOAP, right? So now we are enterprise ready. You saw that API management is a mature and growing service, and Blackboard, the presentation that Ben did showed you the art of the possible and really how to approach your API program. We looked at the new admin experience, and also with the roadmap, you're now aware of our bold plans, and you can sort of help us make them reality and provide feedback. So how can you learn more, get in touch? These are some useful links for you. Note that we have, roadmap, a blog, are great ways to keep up with us. You can propose a feature using user voice, and of course, there are documentation and contact info there. There are some related presentations, most of which are actually already happened, except there is a theater session on extend BizTalk Server integration platform to the cloud either today or tomorrow, I believe. And then there is build cloud first enterprise integration solutions with Logic Apps happening later today. That would be an awesome session showing you how we're actually bringing the products in the integration portfolio together. It will show you how to use Logic Apps with BizTalk Server and potentially even with API management. The first session, Enable Agile Enterprise Connectivity, is a great session that sets up and explains our integration strategy. It happened on Friday, on Tuesday, but it's available for on-demand consumption. We actually are part of this new business application platform group at Microsoft, where we have wonderful tools all up and down the stack to empower citizen developers and integrators, as well as professional developers and integrators. And so that session, VRCAR 2271, is a great one to watch, because I think it will be, this is fairly new stuff, but it's very exciting. And then, of course, we have great technologies for building and running APIs, and these are the bottom two sessions are about that. One thing I want to highlight here is that we actually have now Azure API Management Essentials course on Pluralsight created by Vishwas Lele. It's an awesome course. It's actually under 3 hours, and it's a great way to start with API management. Moreover, the beauty of this course is that it's evergreen, because it shows you how to use API management, how to administer API management using API. And he basically uses nothing but API, our API management API, and Postman to show you how to use API management. So it's an interesting approach. It has sort of gives lasting value to this course, and it's a great way to get started and learn about API management. And I provided the link for you for API management course, quick link. After this, today at 11:30 at room 201 in C section, we're going to have office hours, so we're going to be hanging out there. So come talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, we can actually go into questions. And please do submit feedback. We're looking forward to learning what we can do better. And of course, it's very important to us. There is such a forward plan, but we don't have timing for it.
Do you want to just repeat the question, Vlad?
Yes, sure. So the question was, do we plan to provide API management on-prem via Azure Stack? And yes, we have such an aspiration. It's sort of on our future roadmap. There is no timing yet. But within the next 12 months, we want to provide an option for you to deploy some of the API management components, namely proxy on-prem. And that way sort of get most of the way there without buying into the stack. Any other questions? Yes, please. So CSS changes are not available through the API today, but they are available through Git.
Through what?
Through Git, Git endpoint. So you can actually provide the API, CSS files, upload them into API management using Git. So you can do it, you know, you can automate that process, but not through API.
Templates also?
And templates as well. Yes, please. So today, the option is using virtual networks. And we support both sort of traditional networks and express route. You can alternatively use sort of direct access via open internet using, you know, strong authentication such as mutual certificate authentication. As I mentioned, in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, we're going to offer an on-prem gateway so that if you have on-prem consumers of your on-prem APIs, that traffic can stay within your within the boundaries of your network. However, management and control plane will still be in the cloud. Yes, please.
Are you planning on putting the RDative APIs up on the API management portal?
Well, API management portals belong to, you know, each particular customer, so there is no Uber portal for all the APIs. However, incidentally, Cognitive Services actually use API management already. So, so those APIs, you know, are sort of, yeah.
So I think that's the message transformation. They will define policy transform the response output. Let's say, example, I consume soap.
Yep.
I want my response to do
something. Absolutely.
Yes, you can.
Yep.
Shall
sure.
I answer that one?
Yeah,
yes, so we can. So we're working on, there's two things. One, we have an XSLT policy, so you can run an outbound transform to transform the XML to JSON. We're also working on a more wizard-like interface so that you can upload your WSDL document for your SOAP API, and we will generate a REST API for it. So it will do that transformation automatically for you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good, we like that one. Yes. That one is we are building that now. So we expect to have a preview for that in the next few months, hopefully before Christmas. Yeah.
Cool.
Any other questions? So as you've probably seen in the demonstration, we have this concept of products. We didn't really into it, but that allows you to essentially, products have many-to-many relationship with APIs. So API can be, the same API can be part of multiple products, and one product can include multiple APIs, of course.
Yeah.
And then you can target those APIs to specific developer sort of, you know, groups and have visibility for those, but not for the others. So you can separate the APIs that, for instance, your internal developers can use versus from what your partners can use versus from which ones are public.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You can.
Yeah.
Just to go on, if what you're trying to achieve is kind of a wider ALM process, so you have dev, test, and live site, if you're doing it any size, you can do it all in one instance. What a lot of our customers do is they, for example, have a developer SKU version of API management where they do their development work, which is obviously much lower cost, and then they deploy using Git to their live site as well. So you can then manage that way. I think question
I
over
think
there.
That gentleman was. So I'm not sure I'm getting the question.
So I think I got it. But so if you want to be able to stop anybody from calling a particular API endpoint. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's right. So it won't forward on requests to it. So for example, what you could do is import the whole API and then delete the operations you don't want requests forwarded for. They won't go to the backend API. Yeah.
Is there a discovery? discovery of APIs by developers, you mean? Or you're talking about versioning?
So basically, I want to have some service that's hosted in two different spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, is there a way to tell the consumer of the APIs that service is moved or anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, there are redirects, right? That's HTTP way of saying things moved. And you can say temporary redirect versus permanent redirect. And to do that, you can just configure a policy on your API that is moved pointing to the new one.
And that's part of the...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's just plain HTTP and policies. It's very simple to do. Yep.
Any other questions?
There might have been overlap with the previous question, but I didn't know if you guys had a partnership with some of the other API assets, like the logic apps, all that, to make it more seamless to say you can only come through API management.
You mean from their side, right? Essentially, so because you saw how you can actually bring in logic app and soon, you know, function app, API app into API management. Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, logic apps and API management are peer teams. We'll work for Jim. And so, yes, we will have, you know, integration from probably most sites.
Yeah, we use Azure websites a lot. And,
yeah.
And just trying to force it through this would be a big win for us.
Yep.
From InfoSec.
Yeah, we definitely understand that and certainly will enable that.
I think we're about to be kicked off the stage. So if there wanted other questions, either there's the session at 11:30 or we'll be here to answer those questions.
Yeah, we'll come.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.